Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Coaching with Corinne. If you are getting coached, you have pre-signed up, all that kind of stuff, go ahead and raise your hand. This call, just so all my newbies know, is not Q&A. This is where people have signed up ahead of time. We release the calls on the 25th of every month. We talk about the schedule and all that kind of good stuff. So these are people who are ready to get coached. So I have Amanda, Kat, Amanda, two Amandas, Amanda Atkins and Amanda Kinder. Amanda Atkins is first, and Daria are all getting coached. And then you guys can all pour in. And let me see. Which one was first? Ooh, I don't know which Amanda is raising her hand. We got Amanda with a lowercase a and a lower and an uppercase a. I'm just going to call on, oh, okay, I see. Amanda Kinder. So uppercase A is first. That's awesome. So if you're new to PNP, unless I bring you on like I did with Amanda, we cannot see you. So there you go. Oh my gosh. Do you know what I just realized?
What?
So I've been bitching at Zoom for like a week in their help, like support stuff, saying that new feature where we can't unmute the panelists is like terrible. And I'm like, been going at it. I was like, oh, let me unmute her. I'm like, oh, they changed it. I did not know until this call. That is amazing. So, yes. All right. So what are we coaching on?
Okay. So when I signed up, I was in the middle of my vacation.
Yeah.
And the question I had, I got it figured out. I mean, because my original question was, how many exceptions should I allow on my vacation? And then I was like, as many as is right for me. Like, it has to be what I can live with. So
amen, sister.
Now onto my bigger issue.
Cause we always know that that kind of stuff is the bullshit. It's like, yeah, like I can't figure that one out.
Yeah. Okay. So here was my deal. Before we went on vacation, my husband and I sat down and just talked about like, what do we want to do? And he had me pick out all the restaurants in advance, which was awesome because I could look at the menus. Yeah. And then I gave him the list and he was so disappointed because I did not pick out enough restaurants. There weren't enough meals out. And we talked through that. And so it brought up this issue for me. Identity wise, I want to be a person who doesn't see food as a way to have fun.
Yeah.
But my husband does.
Yeah, that's his right.
Yeah, absolutely. But when I got down to it, so do I. And so, like, here's what I noticed. When I was looking at the vacation, I looked at booking a cooking class. I was looking at Food Network for, like, all of the diners, drive-ins, and dives recommendations. Yeah. And so I just feel like I'm having this identity conflict where I want to be someone who finds food to just be fuel.
Do you really want that? That's
the thing. I don't know.
No, you do know. Don't say, I don't know.
Okay. Well,
do you want to be the kind of person for the rest of your life that food is always just fuel, period, no matter what?
I think maintaining my weight would be easier if I was, but no, I don't think that matches with my lifestyle.
Well, that's also a thought. Maintaining your weight, like, I don't think of food as just fuel.
Okay.
I've only maintained 14 years. It gets a fair thought. I want you to see that you're thinking that it would be easier to maintain my weight if I didn't think of, if I only thought of fuel, if food as fuel.
Mm-hmm.
What if you thought I can plan any fun food I want and the rest of it is I plan for maintenance. I plan to keep my weight off. Like, I think you're trying to make food hard rather than making food easy for you.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
So answer the question. Do you want to be the kind of person who only sees food as fuel the rest of your life? Oh my gosh. Hang on. My cat. You answer the question. I'll be able to hear you, but my cat is now crying because she can't get out. Chris locked all the doors. Go ahead. I can hear you.
So the way you explained it, no, I think food will do other things for me besides be fuel.
Yeah. What's wrong with food being entertainment sometimes?
I guess I worry about it because before I was using it for entertainment a lot. Yeah. And so I get nervous about falling back into old patterns.
Yeah, well, there's no old patterns. We don't fall back into old patterns. There's the way I think today. And the way you think today might be, when I go on vacation, if we want it to be all about the food, I make it all about the food. You can still eat 2 to 2. Yeah. You can do whatever you want. This is what I always encourage people to understand, is that a normal relationship with food means that sometimes you eat for Christmas and entertainment and for love and for nostalgia and all those kinds of things. And the rest of your life, you're living your life. And like every day it doesn't need, like if you notice that you're having to plan food just to feel excitement, just to feel happy and stuff, that's a really good awareness to have. Like, oh, like I didn't realize that if I didn't plan to overeat every night, that I couldn't sit in the same room with my husband.
Okay.
There's a difference between that and saying, like, we're going on vacation. We love the Food Network. Let's plan like all of our meals to be around the Food Network. I can still like eat healthy for breakfast. I can still like eat 2 to 2. I can still do a lot of these things and I still can enjoy the fuck out of what I'm doing.
Okay.
That's like when you really get to where you know that you can control yourself around food, then you get to enjoy food. When you try to suck all the joy out of the food and you're trying to control the food because you're afraid of what you'll do, mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not even fuel at that point. I want you to think about, would that even really be fuel food, or is that just using food against yourself?
Okay. Fair enough to consider. I will think about that. I kept thinking on vacation about what Kathy says about cookies. Like it's got to be the best cookie for her to eat it.
Yeah.
And like, if that could work for me, and I did try to think about, if I'm going to eat things that are on my exception protocol, is it the best that I can find of that thing?
Yeah.
So.
And for me, like when I go on vacation, I just take it one day at a time. I literally do. I used to be the kind of person I had to plan it all and feel like I had to control it. So that was back when I was so worried about things. Mm-hmm. Why am I even doing that? Do I not even trust myself enough to like, do I trust that I'm going to keep this weight off or not? And I finally just had to come to Jesus with myself and said, I am going to trust that I'm going to keep this weight off. And I just made myself quit planning so much ahead of time. Like I need to research every restaurant. I need to do all this. I need to do, because that searching and researching and stuff was rooted in fear. Mm-hmm. Not in having my best self's brain and, you know, like mind and or body and mind.
Okay.
Now, sometimes when I go out of town for like conferences or whatever, I do research some stuff. And it's not because I'm worried I'm going to get fat. It's because I'm there for the conference. And the last thing I wanted to be doing, like I want to be able to decompress with someone and not be trying to figure out where the hell we're going to eat.
Yes.
So we look for it in advance. It's always about, what are your motives behind everything you're doing? Are you doing it because you're afraid? Or are you doing it because it's the best choice for you? Like truly, like this is the person I want to be. Like I love being the kind of person that can go to Vegas during the summer and plan 10 drinks. If I want to plan 10 drinks and finish that night with nachos, but it will be planned.
Yes. And actually I was listening to one of, I don't know if it was a call or a podcast on the way home from the vacation where you were talking about you would plan 8 drinks if you needed 8 drinks that day. And I was like, okay, that answers that question. Cause I was so worried about like, I'm drinking more than I would drink during my normal day, but it is vacation.
Yeah. So. I always tell myself like, vacation is not my norm. I'm never going to go to vacation and check out of who I am, but I am going to go on vacation knowing that I can come back and still be who I am.
Okay.
The moment I started doing that stuff, I never worried about coming home and being like, I don't know if I'll be able to start again and stuff. It's like, I never left who I was. I may be planning more than I would normally eat at home, but I'm still a planner. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking deliberately. I'm still putting first and foremost, Corinne will follow through on this. If I always keep the habit of following through with myself, I can take it anywhere I go.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. I just think I needed to talk through. And like I said, my question really shifted from when I originally signed up because I answered the easy part, which was, yeah, I can have exceptions.
Yeah, you can. We all can. I think it's like, it's so hard for us when we have made food so hard for all of our lives to really be like, am I really going to make this easy?
Like, yes.
But it can't be easy. I'm just telling you right now. Like, I mean, it's like we just are like, there's no way food could be easy. We confuse what, like, food being easy with overeating and numbing out and running from emotion. And, like, I'm going to just say, fuck it on vacation because I'm so afraid that I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, that's not easy. That's very different than, like, what if there wasn't a lot of drama? What would you do? You know, like, what if you just wanted to have food be easy in your life? How many exceptions would you plan? How would you be on vacation? And how would you transition when you come home if food was just easy? So often, I think that's one of the best questions we can ask ourselves around food, especially when we've been taught a whole lifetime of, you know, it's got to be hard to lose weight. And if you're not in misery and deprivation and restriction, you must be doing it wrong. It's like, no, if you're in misery, deprivation and restriction, you're doing it like really wrong.
Yeah. And that's, I caught myself do a thing the day I got home that I was like, I can't believe I just did that. We get home and I was ready to get back into it, but I had to like host a birthday dinner for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I planned the meal, you know, like I wrote down what I was going to have. And then I went and like secret ate a piece of chocolate cake after everyone left because I was like, vacation's ending. Why did I do that? Like the chocolate cake can be on the plan every day this week if yeah. I want it to be. So then anyways, I just did the recovery worksheet and
figured it out.
Moved on next.
I hope every newbie heard that. She did a recovery worksheet.
Yeah, seriously, guys, do them.
Right. It's like, there's like several things that like, if I just know I can get people to do everything, it's like realistic planning and recovery worksheets. You do those two things. Voila, the weight loss happens. And yet everybody's like, I don't see how doing that, so like that overeating is not going to help me lose weight. It's like, but you're doing it anyway. Yes. Learn from it.
Yes. Yes.
So, all right.
All right. Good well, thank you so much, Corinne.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye. All right. I am so thrilled that Kat, you're next, that they changed that setting. I'm going to have to like probably email them and thank them. Hello. What are we coaching on? Man, I bitched at them. Oh, I can't hear you. I unmuted you though. It's going to be your Zoom settings.
Since I started listening to the podcast, I am down over 28 pounds.
Yes.
And yes. And then I joined in January and I have been on every diet known to man. And it has been, this has just been life-changing. So I just first want to thank you because, you know, years of therapy, that's great too. But I mean, and I'm a therapist, so I'm like, let me tout that. But no, but it has just been such a life-changing thing for me. Even my friends are like, wow, you're really getting at it. You're doing it. And it's no craziness. It's just, I've really let go of so much drama associated with things. And it's, aww. I can't say enough. So thank you. I'm like fangirling. I'm going to see you in June. And I'm so excited.
I'm going to do the half marathon in 5K, 10K. Yep. Which
and I'm going to do the coach. Oh, I'm in.
Oh, you're doing the VIP too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. And which one? Yeah. Which race?
Oh, I'm going to do the 5K.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not.
I love it. It's a beautiful.
I'm so excited. Well, speaking of all of this transformation, I am currently a therapist and I really want to transition into life coaching. Like it feels like such a better fit for me. And I used to work with adolescents with eating disorders. I worked in a residential and I was a therapist there. And I think my question is just of how I could build more confidence in that. I know you did the life school. I'm just curious about how you built what you've been doing like confidence wise, not even like business wise, but yeah, I think I'm like, I feel like you're a mentor and I don't even, it's like the first time I've seen you, I'm just wondering, yeah, like how you got to that place where it's like, I feel like I can lead.
Well, I think, so if I had to like tell everybody where to start, and this kind of applies to just everything other than like, this can be any career change. It can be just starting something new, even like with your kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's really dialing in why you want to do it. Like, it's like even with like weight loss, it's when you really know why. And a lot of you will do this. Like when you're wanting to shift into something, you'll make your why so much harder than it is. And it's
ding, ding.
Yeah. Not that hard. So you just start thinking about all the reasons why. It's kind of like compelling reason. Okay. Like write down a bunch of them. Like just let your brain go free on all the reasons why you want to be a life coach, who you want to help most, who are you most passionate and why you're most passionate for them. It sounds crazy, but like when you really are solid in why you know things, how to do everything else becomes so much easier because the things that aren't going to fit stick out like a sore thumb because they don't match why. That's kind of like when we, like in our team, we know exactly what the PMP mission is. So that like our mission, if anybody doesn't know, is to teach every woman how to lose weight for good and feel as amazing as she deserves. And my personal purpose is to teach every woman to believe in herself. Because I know if I can teach you to believe in you, you can do anything you ever want.
And that's what I'm finally starting to feel. Like, I feel like I let the weight be such a, I am the only person getting in my way. And I think I feel like I've really learned to like turn that, like, I'm not a victim. There are so many worse things in the world. Me being overweight is not one of them. Like, this is all fixable. It's all manageable. And I think for so long I let it be something that was like, no, this is going to get in my way. Why would people want to, you know, look at me and think I could help them and that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, I just feel like that piece of me is turned where it's like, well, fuck that. I think I can help. I think I can help a lot of people. And I do, you know, and, and I just feel like this whole experience has really opened my eyes and I'm somewhere where I didn't know certain things were possible for me and they feel possible. And it's like this one piece of things, like this one piece that's been with me forever is changing and I feel no drama about it. Like it's the least amount of anxiety I feel. It's great.
I think it's just a matter of like really sitting around and thinking about why I want a life coach, who I want to help, like all the reasons. And then you start looking at all your reasons and you'll see some of them all kind of match up and you can combine them until you finally get to where, okay, if I had to like, let's say you had 30 reasons, well, I only get to keep 10. What are the 10 that I want to keep? And then you look at those and you combine a few of them up and then you say, now I only get to keep 3. What are the 3 I would keep? And then you look at those 3 and you see if there's any similarities. And then you just make yourself say like, okay, I only get to pick 1. The reason why that's important, and this is so with weight loss too, guys, because one, when it gets hard and you doubt yourself, you want to have lots of reasons, right? That are kind of in your back pocket, but you always want one thing that you can remember when it does get hard and that like allows you to say yes and no to the right things. And so I just always think that's such a good way to do it. And it's like, it's not that the other reasons don't get to count anymore because you cross them out. It means like this one though, this is my one. Yeah. Like, this is the one that makes me choke up a little. This is the one that like, even if you don't, are not a crier, it's like I know that like when I was losing weight, like I had my reasons the whole time and they shifted and I allowed myself to shift them and stuff. But it always came down to, there was always one that would be like, if I spent enough time thinking about it, it was the one that when I didn't want to follow through with myself, it was enough to get me to be like, and we're going to suck it up and do it anyway.
Right. Yeah, totally. Totally. No, I've just, this is like a master class in just how to like be. So I am so grateful. Just to like talk to you, and I'm so excited to see you in June. And I'm so excited for everyone. Like, the only thing that sucks about being a January baby is, like, you're not an April baby. It's, like, the best thing ever. It's, like, I just love it. So I'm really excited for everyone, and I'm so grateful that you took this time with me.
Well, and I'm really glad that, you know, I really believe that very often that things happen exactly the way they're supposed to. Like, there's probably not a better call that could have happened for newbies than yours. As someone who said, not only have I lost some weight, but oh my God, for the first time ever, I'm really believing in myself. I see so much potential for myself, because they're like where we all at one point. I don't believe it yet. Like, I see other people doing it. Can that be me? And it's just not.
It can.
I like all to be together. It's because newbies who aren't there yet need to see. Yeah, it's waiting for you. Just do what I say.
Just do what she says. Just do what she says. Yes.
Don't.
I agree. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
I'll see you in June.
I'll see you. Bye. All right,
bye.
All right. Man, that was like divine fucking intervention. All right. The next Amanda. And Daria, if you're here, go ahead and raise your hand too. Oh, there we go. Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I have to just keep going on that call because, this has been a life-changing experience for me too. I'm a January newbie. I'm down 45 pounds and
I'm just looking at
my weight goal. Like, holy cow, I can do this goal and I can do more. And it is 100% about realistic planning and doing recovery worksheet and all the things you teach. So all you newbies, do it. It works. I promise. But the crappy thing is,
we always have one. So let's have
instead of eating. Well, so you have to think about things. And, so I'm on the call today, about the relationships.
Okay.
I got on Marco Polo group this morning, but I'm trying not to. My best friend, she met with me about a year ago and she told me that she was having an affair.
Okay. She's having an
affair. And she's left her husband.
Okay.
Yeah, she had an affair. So she left her husband. But the reason that I think this affects me so much is because my husband left me for somebody else 2 years before she decided to have an affair on her husband.
Okay.
And I'm just pissed. I don't know why she would do that to somebody else, knowing how much it hurt and watching me go through that. And so we're, like I said, about a year out. It took her 6 months to leave her husband. And then, we were a solid group of three couples. We spent Friday night, Saturday night, hanging out, doing everything together. I've only seen her three times since August. Really, the relationship force, it's, all in my head because I've only talked to her a handful of times. And that's so very true. But I've done a lot of TDL, and I think I want to be at a place where I can feel open to accepting her relationship. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm mad at her. I don't know this guy. I don't trust him. I don't like anybody that goes after somebody that's in a relationship. Obviously, that's my stuff. And maybe I'm just mad that, like, the change of my life and not being able to be with my friends every weekend and, that same core group and all those things. So,
well, yeah, it's,
I don't know. Those are the three things that I just.
Well, I think probably something that might be going on is, you may feel like she's caused pain for you by her actions.
Oh yeah.
But has she caused the pain?
I mean, if she didn't have those actions, I wouldn't have to live it again, but she's not the root cause.
No, I want you to really think about this. So newbies, I know you don't know the model, but we're going to talk the model because she does thought downloads, so she probably understands the model. You understand the model?
Not great, but I do it, yeah.
Okay, so pain is a feeling caused by what?
My thoughts.
Yeah. So She can't make you think things. She had an affair. This group, a friend, like whatever it is, like we used to do this, is still even a thought. It's going to feel very factual, but I want you to move that down to the thought line. Because right now, I think what's happening is you're just in blame. You're in the action of blaming from your hurt, and you're creating a lot of other thoughts to blame her for, like for your life changing. Your life is always your own life.
Yeah.
It's like her having an affair, your first thought was, I can't believe she would do this knowing how painful it was for me. Mm-hmm. And that's where your pain's coming from your judgment of her and her actions. Mm-hmm. Rather than a thought of she's had an affair, it, you know, you could think of a thousand other things. What do you want to feel about her affair?
I want to get to a place where I can just be happy that she's happy.
So why do you think she had this affair to begin with? To uproot everyone's life and change the dynamics of your friendships?
No. She wasn't happy.
Yeah. She wasn't trying to cause pain. Doesn't mean that pain isn't felt by other people, but people rarely have an affair thinking, you know what? I want to go out and cause all the pain I can cause. How many lives can I disrupt today? Usually people have reasons for their affairs. It does not mean that affairs are right. It doesn't mean they're wrong. They just are. And it's up to all of us to figure out where do we reconcile this in our own world? What I want you to think about is right now you're reconciling it in a painful way for Amanda. Like, what's your friend's name?
Rita.
Like, you're not hurting Rita, but you're also not giving Rita love. You're not, nothing's happening to Rita. It's just Amanda is feeling pain because of how Amanda thinks of Rita's past actions. Her actions are your circumstance. Now, this is not to say you have to tolerate it if you don't want to. It's also, but if you want to keep this in your life, quit thinking about it in a painful way. Right?
Yeah, there's that, and then it's a painful way. Like, I don't like him. I don't know him, but I don't like him for being the one that pursued this and caused all the pain, and I don't trust him and I don't know him. And
that's all thoughts. Remember?
I just,
like, here's what I
know. It's all thoughts. And it's like,
he is a man. What is his name? Let's call him John. Just say John. John.
Okay. Yeah.
And Rita are now together. Your thoughts are, he caused all this. I don't know him, but I don't trust him.
Yep.
Like, but I need you to just, like, I think the biggest problem you're having right now is that you haven't owned that those are thoughts about him. I think you think the circumstance is he caused us all a lot of pain. He's not trustworthy. I think you think those are circumstances and facts. They are not. You won't really be able to start thinking differently until you start practicing. We got John and Rita now.
Yeah.
And I have to quit judging it and start allowing myself to decide on purpose how I want to think about this. Because if I want Rita, guess who comes along for the package now?
I know.
Did he cause all this pain and suffering?
I'm having a hard time not putting it on him just because he's the one that approached her. He's the one that, you know, kept the conversation and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And again, this is where a lot of times I go back to, because I've been cheated on several times. Thank God, not by Chris, but you know, I've had several relationships. Like, all my past relationships always ended with my dude fucking somebody like my best friend. Every single time. It was like, I was good at it. Like, attracting that guy, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
I don't think any of those people ever were like, what am I going to do today? Disrupt lives. who can I go fuck today to disrupt lives? You know, like, relationships are very not like that. I don't think right. He saw Rita and was like, oh my God, she looks married. I wonder if I could disrupt her life. Maybe she's even got a friend named Amanda that I could screw too. Emotionally.
Yeah, probably not. And I mean, as a result, I haven't put forth the effort to really have our relationship, because I know that if I invite Rita, then so comes John. And that's hard for me to deal with right now.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. But, you get to decide. Yeah. Like in my life, like one of my things is that like I don't associate with people that have an affair. But I don't think that they cause me pain. It's just like, it's not the kind of person to hang out with.
Yeah.
Period. Like,
I mean, I've had some thoughts about that too.
Do what?
Mm-hmm.
But
I said, I've had some thoughts about that too.
Yeah, but I don't sit there and be like, I would never say, well, I'm just so hurt because of Rita. You know what I would say? I'd be like, I'm hurt because I'm letting Rita go. Rita didn't do anything to me. Rita lived her life. It's not the kind of stuff I would choose. I'm letting her go, and that's why I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I would always take ownership of my own feelings, or I would keep Rita in my life and be like, I love Rita enough. I love her enough to, you know, be okay with, like, give John, or whatever we're calling him, like, allow him to just be him. Yeah. And then I can make some, like, judgment calls. But like dropping the story that people are causing me pain, that it, you know, she should know better, he should do better. Like that always causes you the most pain because they had this relationship. That's just what happened. There's no shoulds anymore. They're just facts now. And now we got to decide.
Yeah.
Where are we going moving forward? It'd be like,
oh yeah, I should all over relationship.
Yeah. Well, and it's no different than saying like, well, I shouldn't weigh 250 pounds. I shouldn't have been taught to eat drive-through all my life. Like how far would that have gotten me with weight loss? Not far. Just like in a friendship to move forward, wherever it's going, sitting around and thinking that they should have known better and stuff just keeps you stuck in some bull ass shit for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think I need to decide if I'm going to love her enough and keep her and her kids. I mean, her kids are like my second kids. That's part of what's been difficult.
And if you decide to walk away, just don't do it because you don't love her. Just say like, I'm doing this from love of self. I either want to work at it or I don't. It's worth my thought work or it's not. Like, I just want you to decide and like your reason for doing it. Don't do it because you think she causes you pain. Like, I want you to take that next level up in your own emotional development. That Rita's affair is teaching you how to truly own all your own emotions. And if you want to feel hurt by it, then say, I am hurt because I don't like it. Not because she did something to me. That's my choice. And I will own my hurt, or I will own my peace, but I will own it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to is I know I'm hurting and it's on me and I need to decide if I can work through that part with her as my friend, or I need to just not, I guess. It sucks.
Don't say it sucks. You know what it is? It's happening because what? It's supposed to. How much weight have you lost? 45 pounds?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you lose 45 pounds, guess what the world throws at you? Something else to work on because you got that weight loss on lock. Thank you, world. I knew I needed to
up my emotions. I am enjoying that part. Yeah. All right. You know, it can never be perfect. That's the thing.
Right. It's just things are happening all the time. And I'm just, you're just really showing, because you're like questioning it and stuff, that you're really ready to make a good empowered decision over it. This is to show you where you can own all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We had some group chat about spending time next weekend together, and I haven't responded yet, 'cause I was like, I need to get on this call. I need to work my decision. And then that's the decision I'm going to go with, 40%, and move on.
Yeah. If you decide to go on that weekend, you tell yourself, I go into this weekend not judging anybody for their actions. I'm going to go in, and everybody gets to be them. And I'm just going to like do all my thoughts while I'm here. I'm not bringing any baggage with me. All right. Good call.
That's good. Thank you very much.
As we heard. Thanks. All right. Daria, are you here? Daria, you better be here. Some newbie is going to be like, what the fuck? All right. We don't have a Daria. Everybody just, anybody who would like to be live coached, you got to have something good though. Don't be asking me about water or some bullshit. Let's do Tina. She got her hand up first. Oh my gosh, you've been coached like a jillion times.
You can pick someone else. That's fine.
It's all right.
I always bring older than she
appears. That's what we all know about her. What are we coaching on?
So I am doing really well, which is exciting. So I think I'm just trying to figure out more like upper limit problems / relationship stuff. So you decide.
You give me one with a circumstance.
Ooh,
give me a circumstance. I want a damn thought.
Okay. Circumstance. I am in a relationship.
With who?
With a boyfriend. His name actually is John. So the last call.
Right. Now we've got John. How long have we been in the relationship?
2 years.
And what is the problem in one sentence? Here's an upper limit problem. Boom, pull it all down to one.
One sentence. Can it be a question, or does it have to be a declarative?
Tell me your question. Let me see where we can go with this.
Well, I think we should move in together, and he's not, well, I think he's 40%, but I think he wants to be 80%. Sure.
Okay. So what is the problem? You still haven't given me a problem. You've given me like,
I am trying to figure out how to manage my own feelings about his unsureness about that topic.
Oh my God. Seriously.
If there's always a stuck point, there's always something going on. This is just the thing.
What thought do you think you could be having about his 40 to 80%?
This is how he is. This is his process. He's very deliberative.
Yeah. Thank God he doesn't want to just jump into something he's not sure about yet.
Yeah.
That's going to save you a lot of heartache down the road if he decides this isn't for him.
Right. Yeah. Although I'm
making it mean that he's 40% and needs to go to 80.
I feel frustrated because I'm of the philosophy that there's not a decision that I can make that I can't undo. And
good for you, but most people don't operate that way. Well, he doesn't belong to P&P. He probably doesn't know that.
Right. And I actually just sent him this morning the decision-making podcast that I just listened to. And I was like, yes. If it's good enough for Jeff Bezos.
Good enough for us.
Exactly. So drilling down into this, it's how I want him to be more like me in this, like in general of like, let's be more decisive or let's just try things out.
He's not. I want to know like his 40%. What do you make that mean about Tina?
that he doesn't want to be with me, or that he's dragging his feet because he's not sure about the relationship in general.
And if he's unsure about the relationship in general, what are you making that mean about you?
If I run off of that assumption, it's not what it makes it mean about me. It's what it means about, like, what I think about him. So I get mad because I think, well, you're wasting my time too. We've been doing this for 2 years. If we can't be at a decision-making point, then we're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, then why have you just broke up with him yet?
It crosses my mind.
But why haven't you is the question. I don't care if you've been thinking about it. Thinking about it, that's kind of like saying, well, it crossed my mind to join PNP, but I think I'm going to wait.
Right.
Why haven't you done it?
Because I care about him and I care about the relationship, and I get, even if everything isn't going the way I think it should, I still get something. I get enough out of it to continue to be in it.
Okay. So what if we just decide it's going exactly the way it should be going?
Mm-hmm.
That he's not Tina. He needs to think. He wants to, like, you both have a lot in common.
Say more about that.
You tell me, what do you think you two have in common that you just all said out loud?
Does it have something to do with wasting time or not being sure about the relationship?
Yeah. When I just got through asking you all about why you haven't left him yet, it's because you're like, well, I'm kind of this, I'm kind of that. Now you're judging him for not just making a split decision to, like, live together.
Right.
You're not even sure. You think you're sure. You just want to make a decision.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, because this also comes, like, my lease is up, and, like, so there are other circumstances that surround this choice that we've talked about, and I think I feel a little hurt that it hasn't landed as a clear decision. But
it's a clear decision right now.
Right. Yeah, I guess so.
No one's ready yet.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that if he comes today and says, I thought about it, I'm all in, that you can't just be all in. I just want you to quit pretending that something's going wrong. You're both thinking about the relationship.
Right. I'm just making it mean something bad when it's just neutral.
Yeah. Like we all do, right? Like, you're making his indecision mean he doesn't want me, or that, you know, my lease and all that. Like, you're, like, looking for all these reasons why him wanting to think and be sure means something's wrong. When you think that's wrong, you start finding leases and you start finding all these other things rather than just thinking, like, yeah, he wants to be sure.
Right.
He wants to be as sure as I am. But right now, when I ask you about it, you're allowing his, like, just going through his process, make you uncertain now.
Right.
If you want to be sure about this relationship, be sure 100% and let him go through his process. Love the two of you enough to be like, I'm the good decision maker. I've made mine. I don't have to sit in indecision anymore. You know what I'm done? Done thinking about it until he's ready to make his decision.
Okay.
That's how Corinne rolls.
I was going to say, yeah, all right. Well,
it's
now
so much easier, isn't it?
Yeah. This is one less thing to talk about at camp.
There we go. See, we're just knocking shit out. It's so funny you said this, because when Chris and I first started dating, oh my God, I was like, date two, I called my girlfriend. This is back when we had to, like, actually phone call people. And I said, oh my God, all of it. Just... like back in the ancient days. And I was like, I had a landline though. I didn't even use a flip phone because that was expensive back then. You only had so many minutes. But I said, he's the one. I love him. I just know it. Like, date two. I was that girl, right? So after we'd been dating, I don't know. We'd been dating maybe 6 weeks or something like that. No, we'd been dating 3 months. And I said, when did you know I was the one? Just knowing he was going to say, like, instant. He's like, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks in. He's like, I had to feel it out. I just had to see. I was like, what? I mean, it was just like, you could have like dropped a mic on me. But that's what we do. We think because we feel something and we're certain and we're sure, the other person should also.
Yeah.
Like, what's taking you so long? I remember going through drama. This was like, we were already together. And me questioning his love for me because it took too long for him to decide he loved me. Talk about like silly ass 28-year-old drama. That was me back in the day. Now, if it was me and him, I would just be like, I'm all in on you. You decide. I'm going to go over here and do my life. And I'm going to love the fuck out of you while you decide. And if you decide you don't, I'll deal with that then. Mm. But this pre-dealing with it in your brain that he might not love you enough or might not work out and whatever, all you're doing is causing yourself a lot of pain while you wait. Because there's the bottom line, you're going to be waiting anyway. You might as well wait with pleasure.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I know all of this.
I know. Well, you're one of my TDLers and modelers. I know you know it, but that's the funny thing. When we're in it, it's like, I can't see it.
Right. Yeah. The fog descends and we get lost.
It's like, all of a sudden it's like, what's a vault download? You got this.
Yeah.
You coming to camp next week?
Next week.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. My birthday is the day before camp too. So I might even tell you how old I am at camp.
Oh, you better. If you don't, I'm going to have to like, I don't know.
What do you make that mean about you, Corinne?
Do what?
What do you make that mean about you?
That you haven't told me about your age?
Yeah.
But that I'm not sneaky enough to get it out of you.
That's a thought.
And I pride myself on my sneakiness. All right. I'll see you then this week.
Sounds good. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Man, y'all, we just ripping and roaring. Let's see. I want somebody that I've never seen the name Windy City Mama. Let's call on you. This should be fun. It's probably a brand newbie who's getting on the phone with me and be like, oh my God, never done it.
Hello.
Hello. What are we coaching on, Windy City Mama?
So
with the clouds in the sky behind you, appropriate name.
Oh yeah. So this is something that no weight loss company's ever been able to help me with.
Okay. Hey, when did you join?
I'm an April baby.
That's what I just need to know. Cause if I start talking circumstances, models, and all this other bullshit, everybody will be like, all right.
Nope. I'm an April baby.
All right.
Okay. So my situation is that occasionally my husband and I go out for incredible dinners, not like Applebee's, not like some Italian place, but like the best of the best.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid to go out and eat. Because even if I plan for it, because is this going to blow it for me? Am I going to lose all my progress?
So how often do you do these dinners?
Like how many months?
Once a month. So one out of every 30 days, you have an extravagant meal, and the other 29 days, what happens?
We make dinner at home. We cook at home. We don't eat out.
Yeah. So does that blow all the progress, or is that one out of 29 meals you enjoy?
It's one out of 29 meals I enjoy, but it's a big one. Like I can't look up a menu. They don't make exceptions.
Who gives a shit? It's one meal out of 20. How many? So out of 29 days, let's just do some math.
All right.
And I'm not.
You don't like math.
I know. And we're going to do it and we're going to like it. 29 meals. How many times a day you eat?
Five. All right. Maybe five, four or five.
Okay, so let's just say five for shits and giggles.
All right.
145 times to get it right and to like eat like a champ who's healthy and losing weight, and we have this one meal.
Right.
Do you think that one meal literally offsets 145 eating opportunities where you can just eat healthy, eat to your two, choose good foods?
Well, when you put it that way, clearly not. It won't affect
math
it.
Math always wins.
Yeah. Nope, you're right. That was my question. No life circumstances, just, oh shit, I have this huge meal and it's going to be amazing and I don't want to hurt my progress.
Right. Here's what I would be thinking. I have this really nice, enjoyable experience with my husband every month. And I'm really going to enjoy it because I know that I can always go straight into my normal healthy routines. There's no reason to be scared. There's no reason to think it's going to set my progress behind. And the more I get used to that being okay, the more I'm going to progress the rest of the month because I'm releasing my fear of food.
All right. That's fair. I like that. Thank you.
Do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. Thank you. That's why I joined.
Now when you go, you can just be like, dude, I'm here to enjoy myself. I'm not that person anymore that worries.
bring it on. Bring it on because I'm going to enjoy myself.
You still try to eat here too, though. I will tell you this. A big-ass extravagant meal, it will be hard. I want it to be hard.
All right.
And I don't want you to judge yourself if you don't make it to the two. I just want you to get used to being like, I wonder what it would be like to have this big meal and eat whatever I want, but also just eat until I'm satisfied. To like eat deliberately and slowly and really enjoy it and not think about it like it's the last meal I'll ever get.
Okay.
All right, lady. Good for you for jumping on a call, April, baby. That's brave.
Well, thank you. Okay.
All righty. Bye. That was a good one. Daria, are you here? I think you're actually here now. Okay. All right. We got you on here twice. You were actually scheduled. Let me call on you. The rest of you might as well lower your hand. I think I'm going to just, well, I don't know. Daria? There's two Darias with their hand raised. Let me try the other one. Daria might be having problems with the phone and stuff. Which one's going to work, Daria? Oh, there we go. Let me kill this one. Let me unmute you.
There
we go. I can hear you. Whatever you do, don't swear.
I'm so afraid.
Oh, wait. We have an echo. Hang on a second. Do you have me on two different things? Yeah, yeah. Just mute one of them. And that'll take care of it. All right. So what do we need?
I need a minute to compose myself.
You're fine.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about binge eating. I've been binging since I was 10 years old.
Okay.
And I'm now 60. So that's a long time. And I hear you say, just stop. You know, you just got to stop. But it's not like I don't want to feel my feelings because I do feel them. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's something it's like I feel like it's part of my identity. And I don't. You know, I don't know where to go with that.
Well, I think part of it is, what do you make it mean that you've been binging since the age of 10 all the way to 60?
Well, I remember when I was 10, I was at my grandmother's house and I was eating so much that my aunt commented on it. And I remember thinking, well, something's wrong with the way I eat. And then I just started a pattern of binging. And then for the rest of my life, up until the last about 4 years ago, I was always able to control it with exercise. So it was always exercise extensively and then eat extensively. And I've never...
Let me ask you a question. Here's a thought error I want you to notice. I was always able to control it with exercise. If exercise controlled binging, would you still binge?
No.
Right.
And so I've heard you say, would you keep the weight on if you could stop binging? And I would.
Go ahead.
No, I said I would keep it on if I could stop binging.
Okay. I just want you to first start changing how you talk about, like when you said, so the first thing you said is, I think I identify, right? It's locked into my identity. One of the things is you have to start with the changing of the identity, like how you're identifying. Like one is saying, I used to control it with exercise. The first step is to say like, exercise never controlled it. I either binged or I didn't. There was never a control thing there. Like separating those two things out as if that was a good thing. Because in your brain, it probably reconciles at a core level that that was a good thing.
Right.
Like, you know, intellectually, you would say no. Emotionally, but that's what kept my weight in check. Or is that what happened? Is that you could binge and you could exercise and it kind of kept your weight in check?
Yes.
Yeah. And so like allowing yourself to just believe like exercise never controlled the binging.
Okay.
Exercise excused the binging. That's what was happening.
Okay.
That allows you to start like really seeing it in a little different way.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm taking notes.
No, you're good. And then we'll put the replay up and you can watch it a couple times. Just listen to it. I know you might not want, a lot of people are like, I don't want to watch it. That's why you can listen. And if you don't want to hear yourself cry, then you can just fast forward to the parts where I just start talking.
Okay.
That's the beauty of the 30-second fast forward button. You get to move to the parts you like.
Yes.
The other thing is when I ask you, like, I really want you to think about, like, when I asked you, what do you make it mean that for basically 50 years of your life, you have binge ate? Okay. Because here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop saying I'm a binger.
Okay.
That's an identity thing.
Right.
And I want us to break it down into it as an action. So for 50 years, I have had binges. Is a much better way to start breaking the identity than it is I am a binger.
Okay, so binging is an action. So you're saying instead of saying that, saying...
You're putting as a circumstance, I'm a binger. You're okay. That's not a circumstance.
Okay.
How many times you've binge ate the last, like, say that, like, for 50 years, I have had binges is a circumstance.
Okay.
The reason why this is important, and I want to explain this to everyone on this call, I am statements are the most powerful things you'll ever have come out of your mouth and be said in your head. Being aware of all the I am statements that you do on a daily basis is key and critical. Okay. So if you notice your I am, if you every day was saying like, well, I am fabulous. I am overcoming my binging.
Okay.
That is way different than, well, I'm just going to tell you the news, Corinne. I'm a binge eater. Because you start believing it in your core. And it's right. Not a truth. Like, it's not a fact. It may feel true, but that doesn't make it a fact. So I say all this, and I know that can sound confusing because we have, people here. Like, binge eating is, you guys get locked in. You were very emotional in the beginning. You know, it's something that you've carried for a long time. So when I ask you, what do you make 50 years of binging mean? You would say, it means I am what? And just give me some general thoughts.
I don't know. Probably dysfunctional.
Okay. So that's one. Like, you have a thought that this means I'm dysfunctional. What else?
Failure. I have severe depression and PTSD. So I feel lousy most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will tell you, a lot of times when people have depression and PTSD, they tend to overeat and binge so that they can work on that problem and hang on to it, because it's so much easier to have the shame of that than it is to work on the PTSD and the depression.
Yeah. I've been in therapy most of my life, though. I mean, and off most of my life.
I think one of the things I want you to work on is before you're ever going to stop binging, because I think, like, when I say just stop, I don't mean like, okay, as of today, you should never binge again. What I mean is just stop doing all the things in the moment you catch yourself that keep you going in the cycles. So like when you are binging, getting really good at being able to stop somewhere in the middle of it or towards the end. If you're not ready for that step, then when you're binging, being willing to stop the shame. Like, I don't know if you ever watched me coach Permie.
No.
Or binge eating. Go to the video replays on pmptribe.com. Look at our binge eating videos.
Okay.
And watch me. Permie is from Ireland and she's got really long black hair. I've coached her through cycles of binge eating. First thing that has to happen is, like, I want you guys to think about binge eating, okay? We reverse engineer the process. Most binge eaters are so desperate to stop binging, that's where they want to start.
Okay.
I want you to start at the tail end. And step one is to stop beating yourself up for them. When I put binging in the C line, I don't want your thought to be, I am a failure, I am dysfunctional, and I am whatever else. I want you to get to where you can actively practice binge in the C line. That means you've had a binge eat when it's in the C line.
Okay.
And your first thought is, I'm working on this. I'm worth solving this. Every binge has a purpose, and I will find out what it is and move forward. Like, I want you to be able to drop into that mindset, because you will find so much relief there from that piece that it will allow you. Like, this is the thing about binge eaters, everyone. And this is also with overeaters. So even if you're not a binge eater, this also goes in with the overeating. When you're binging, very often you eat until you're numb and you eat until you're checked out, because you know the second that that wears off, you're going to beat the shit out of yourself. So you extend how long you do it so that you don't get to the verbal abuse part. So we have to practice not abusing ourselves first so we can get relief there. And that allows you to know that the binge can actually stop sooner. Like, it may still get triggered, but that you have the rationality and the emotional bandwidth to stop it whenever you want, because you know there's nothing bad's going to happen afterward. There's going to be a recovery worksheet. There's going to be work. Yeah. But right. There's not going to be shame. That starts going away. And that is that's process number one. Then you get good at working through the middle part, which is like, I start talking to myself in the middle. I start catching myself in the middle. I start stopping myself in the middle. And your brain gets used to stopping then. It gets used to giving you some triggers to end it sooner.
Okay.
Then you start, like, once you have that capacity, it's so much easier to be like, oh, well, what started it to begin with?
Okay.
Then you start working on navigating those triggers, and you start working on noticing, like, oh, my normal binge chatter is happening. Sometimes you'll binge and sometimes you won't, but you'll start catching yourself earlier and earlier and earlier in the process. And okay. That's kind of the goal. It's like reverse engineering. It's a long process, though. You have to be all in on the not shame part ever. And when it starts, you have to say, I'm not doing this anymore. This is not how I'm going to talk to myself. I refuse to talk to myself like this anymore. I think the hardest thing for people to really understand when we do all this work is when, like I will coach her, and a lot of you are listening and you're going to be like, that sounds so good. Like, oh, man, I think, like, yes, like, I have a plan. I think I can do this. And it will happen, and it will feel like it has every single time. The same words, the same everything will happen. And that's the way it's supposed to happen. You have to take conscious authority to stop it and not make it anything mean that it's going wrong, because it's happening the same way.
So you're saying if it continues to happen and I'm having trouble stopping it in the middle.
Right now, we're not even stopping in the middle, remember?
Right.
Where are we stopping right now?
I thought you said the middle. So do you mean at the end?
We're going to stop with shame first.
Okay.
So you're going to have probably a series of binges, just like you've always had. doesn't mean you can't work on the other pieces. You just don't get to get frustrated when they're not all coming together. You can do that work. But the first thing, like the first number one thing is like, all right, I'm going to overcome shame after a binge. That's the result I'm working on right now. And when that piece gets done, then I get to work on stopping hard in the middle. Like that's where I get to put all my focus, because now that I've gained authority over my self-talk, now I get to gain authority over the middle part.
Okay. So self-talk is the first thing.
Self-talk is always the first thing. And I never want you to call yourself a binger ever again.
Okay.
Ever.
I was thinking, I wasn't sure you were going to be able to tell me anything different than what you tell the other bingers, but this is really good. This is, and I always thought, well, I don't think I have any shame. And then I realized, you know, I don't want anybody to know I'm in PNP. I didn't even, you know, the only one that knows is my husband. So I thought, well, if that's the case, then I must feel a lot of shame. And it's not even like I feel so overweight that I wouldn't keep it on if I could stop binging, because you've asked that before. And like, I mean, I'm only about 10, 15 pounds overweight, but it's the inability to control and get a hold of this, because it's all I've ever known.
Yeah, and it's not the weight that's painful. That's the thing I try to get all of you to understand. I don't care what size you are. It's you make this mean that you're dysfunctional and that you're a failure. What was the other winning word that we chose? I don't even remember what it was, but it was not pleasant. Let's put it that way. That's the weight. That is the weight we all have to lose our weight for good. That is the weight you need to lose so that you, like, if you are free of all that 10 to 15 pounds, you would work on it or you wouldn't. But it's like, fuck, this is like weighing me down. This is what makes me cry. This is what I don't like.
Okay.
I just want you to like, and it's when I say the shame at the end, like what conversation do you, after you binge, what do you normally say to yourself?
This is just the way it is. Like, I feel hopeless. That's probably the best word.
Yeah.
It's like, this is like my last chance, I think, is signing up for the PNP, because I don't know what else to do. Years of therapy hasn't helped me.
I really want you to, I want you to get to where you can have no judgment of yourself in a negative way for binge eating. The day you don't judge yourself is the day that you've released the mental weight. And then the act of binging just becomes a habit you have to break. It's really hard to break a habit though when you're locked into this is so bad and terrible. Like that's first step. And that's part of that. Like at the end of the binge, you don't feel helpless anymore. You don't meet like, this is my last shot. This is my, you know what? You could live another 40 years. This ain't your last shot. You know what it is? Like time to work. Just time to work on. Like every single time I binge, I'd be like, more work to do. Like, I want you to get to where you really can just be like, more work to do. I want to, like, I actually have a friend who binge eats a lot. And she and I have been kind of working together for a while now. She coaches me and I coach her. And she just said, like, we had talked about this at length not too long ago about defining every binge having a purpose. Okay. It's there to, like, the act of binging is there to tell me something that I just need to be working on, something emotionally, either I'm not taking care of myself in some way that I need to learn how to take care of myself. There's feelings I'm not willing to feel that I need to learn how to feel. Like some days when you feel bad, like you need to learn how to feel bad rather than needing to eat. Whatever's causing the binging, it's like The first thing is to figure out what's causing the binging and being willing to feel that.
Okay. I think that I feel the feeling and then it's too intense for me to continue.
And that's where you want to learn to feel the feeling. And the best way to, one of the best ways I have to teach you guys to learn how to feel feelings is to think about the feeling that you don't like the most. And okay. You sit. Like, this is literally what we do at camp. So everybody's coming to camp for the first time. Welcome to how we kick camp off. We think about our most uncomfortable feeling first. Okay. And we really think about it. And then we take ourselves back. If anybody wants to do it, just do it with me real quick. But you take yourself back to a time when you felt it. And you think about, what does that feel like in my body in that moment? Because feelings, guys, are literally, they're just like your brain thinks something, and a feeling is the vibration that goes through the body of that thought. So like pulses quicken, heartbeat goes up. You might feel red. Like there's different things that will happen, and it's learning how, like if you take your most intense one and you sit with it for 2 minutes and you try to drum it up in your body.
Yeah.
And think something that's going to cause it, knowing that it will be over with in 2 minutes when your timer goes off, it allows you to start understanding, oh, what I've been binging over and whatever I've been doing is because I don't like thinking this or feeling this in my body. But it's not because something's actually happening to me. Most of us think that things are happening to us, and that's why we get so, I need to get out of this. It teaches you to really say, like, in the worst that will happen is the words that are going in my brain and what I'm feeling in my body in this moment. And you get real good at it.
Okay.
You get to where like I will tell you, I can't tell you how many times I've been so disappointed in myself and so ashamed of something I've said or whatever. And I just sit and I literally tell myself, it is because you're thinking this about you right now. And if you're not ready to let it go, then this is the worst it's going to be. And most of the time I cry.
Okay.
And then when I'm done crying or done whatever, then I go into like, and we get to change this whenever we're ready. If I'm angry, sometimes I'd like to just sit in that. But I always tell myself the reason why I'm so angry, whatever, is always because of what I'm thinking. And I can tolerate any feeling the more I practice it. And I think that's probably what's going on for you with depression and PTSD is you need to learn the skill of feeling your feelings rather than thinking that they're something you have to run away from or change.
Okay. I can tolerate any feeling, you said, for 2 minutes. Is that what you said?
Yeah. I would like practice it and just say, I only have to feel this for 2 minutes and I'm going to set a timer. And when that 2 minutes is over, I'm going to go and do something else. It is a powerful skill to learn.
Okay. I'm exhausted.
I feel you, mama. I've been talking since like 9:45.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. I appreciate you doing this call. I think you help a lot of people, all of you that binge-eat and you're willing to come on here and be vulnerable and be honest. You help a lot of people when you do it because that is one of the things that so many people are just not able to talk about just yet.
Well, I canceled last time I had an appointment with you because I was too afraid.
Yeah. And I want you to give yourself some credit. You were probably afraid this time.
Yeah.
A little overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And look, you got through all of it with some tears and now I don't know what you feel now, but you look a little more relieved than when you first got on the call.
Well, I panicked because I couldn't turn the volume on and I thought I wasn't going to get the call. So then I started panicking and then I start crying.
Yeah. But look at all that. Like, I want you to see you made it through all of that. You experienced panic. You experienced a lot of things and it all worked out okay. The worst that was happening was the sentences going through your brain about the volume not working.
But then it was making me feel more like a failure because
Well, it wasn't. Just remember, everything you thought caused feelings. That's it. That's all that ever happens. We think things, we feel things. That's literally the worst that ever happens, guys. If you ever get to where you can think, the worst that ever happens is things I think, feelings I feel, then you can gain authority over how you react to any of it. All right. Thank you. So,
thank you very much. All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Oh, you too. Bye, y'all. All right, everyone. That was coaching for all the newbies. I hope y'all got a lot of value out of it. This is what being in the tribe is all about, is these coaching calls. I want you to understand you do not have to be on one to get a shit ton of value out of it. You will almost always hear a call and resonate with someone and be like, that's my thing. And whatever Corinne tells them to do, that is exactly what I'm going to be doing for myself. So the replay will be up within 24 hours. I will get Miss Sadie on top of it today so that we have them up. And you guys, y'all have an amazing, amazing day. I will be back tomorrow night on Monday, April the 8th, for Taking Action, big ass Q&A over in the Facebook group. Bye, y'all.